Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, one and all, to More Insight. I'm your host, Angela D., and I welcome you. I welcome you to the Sister Girl Network Inc. platform, ordained by God to meet our sister girls and brother men where they are in their lives and in spirituality. We thank God for this platform, for it is a platform about healing, healing from the inside out. We stand in truth and on truth. For God is spirit, and they who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And we thank God for that. Hallelujah. And so tonight we are on part two, growing and flourishing again. And tonight we're going to talk about trees of righteousness. You know, that's what we are. When we look at the Word of God, how it talks about trees and branches and how God is divine, Jesus is divine, and we are the branches. And we must grow to understand how for us to become rooted as a child of God, we have to stay connected to the Holy Spirit. For the Word of God tells us, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. 1 Corinthians 13:11. We invite each and every one of you to join us by dialing in at 213-943-3551. Or you can link in through the internet at blogtalkradio.com/more insight. Let us acknowledge our Father. Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, we give you praise and we give you honor. Oh, Lord, we come to your throne with a humble heart saying, thank you, Lord. How grateful are we that you send your one and only begotten Son to save us. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for your tender heart. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. Your word, the living word, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, you are all things to us, and we are thankful. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, you said, pray about everything and be anxious for nothing. Hallelujah. In the season of dealing with fear and threats and different circumstances, don't look the same as once before. We thank you. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, because you're all things to us. You are our Prince of Peace. You are the lily of the valley. And Father, we thank you. Lord, we ask that you cleanse our hearts and renew a right spirit in us, Father. Oh, Father, heal the broken in heart and bind up their wounds in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, reveal to us like never before. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, send your warning angels upon our technology on tonight in our atmosphere. We bind up hindrance and distractions in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, give us fresh anointing in the name of Jesus, Lord. New revelations. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you. We honor you and we praise you. Oh, we couldn't even praise you enough if we try. Hallelujah. And so we thank you, we honor, and we praise you, oh, ever the more. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Welcome, one and all, to More Insight. I'm your host, Angela D. We thank you for joining us tonight. We invite you to join us on the internet at blogtalkradio.com/more insight. or you can dial in to join in with the conversation or just listen. The number is 213-943-3551. So we are on part two. This is really a part of the series we started a couple of weeks or so. The same battle, but different vessels. You know, sometimes when God give us a word or send someone our way or something trigger us to thirst and hunger after the word because of what's going on, we have to understand patience is so essential to our lives. And so as we allow God to take us deeper, there's nothing on the surface. You know, God take us deeper. The Holy Spirit move us to go deeper because there's always an interference there, you know, because we war against our flesh. And so as we talk tonight, talking about growing and flourishing again, the trees of righteousness, you know, it's our life. It's what people see. It's not what we say. It's what people see, our life. They see the fruit. We become trees rooted and grounded. We are beautiful to look at because of the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the light. And so we have to know that it's a process in our growth, but we have to be willing to do our part in that process. And so I always talk about when you think about when you first gave your life to Christ and you recite the sinner prayer and you ask God to come into your heart. And I know I can remember the pastor saying to me, and this is the first day of the rest of your life. Little did I know what that meant, right? I just felt, okay, I'm saved now, and that's it. But see, in this journey, there's a process of a transformation through the renewing of our minds. And so we grow into God's grace and knowledge, but we grow into great God's grace and knowledge because we desire to. There's a thirst and a hunger that stirs up in us. And so we seek him. We get draw near to him, knowing that he would draw near to us. That's what the word of God. We pick up our weapons of warfare, and the word of God is a weapon of warfare. And as we grow spiritually, even when we're looking at the word of God, we get new revelation. God, same scriptures we might have read 5 years ago do not resonate in the same way with us. And so that's the tree. That's the tree becoming rooted in the word of God. You know, even when we look at the season that we're living in now. And for real, I mean, like Peter said, you know, beloved, think it's not strange concerning fiery trials, you know. So we're, as kingdom, we're aware of what's going on. The word of God, prophecy, have told us what's going on. But we must really understand that this season is a revealing and a testing season. You know, God, he revealed things to his children, his holy people, but he also tests us. He tests our hearts. He tries us. He stretches us. He shakes us. He moves us, even sometimes distract us and make us feel just to keep us and save us from ourselves, right? And so this season, we have to think about our minds. Because when the word of God tells us to meditate on the word day and night, when we think about that, how that instruction right there is so critical in this season where God allowed that year or so shedding, right? Where that was a time for us to be even more strengthened for now, right? Everything was shut down. The buildings were shut down. The sanctuaries, going to the buildings was shut down. Jobs, you was working at home. And so now you cannot allow yourself to go back into that trap of the world, busy for the sake of being busy, overwhelmed, dealing with anxiousness and stress. That was a time for us to become more disciplined, becoming more rooted. We live in a world where the mindset is, I need to fit in, so I'm doing what everyone else doing is in the know, okay? But that's what everyone else doing, so you line up. But the word of God says, do not be conformed to this world, but be thy transformed by the renewing of our mind. But when we think about that, every day our mind has to be renewed. Every day. And how do we do it? We do it by meditating on the word day and night. We do it by praying without ceasing. We do it by drawing near to the Holy Spirit, embracing the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to intercede for us. Because that will force us to deny our flesh. And the more we deny our flesh, the stronger our spirit gets. So when we look at Colossians, praise God, this is an open dialogue. So if you want to speak this a knowledge, and you can have the floor. Colossians tells us that our substance is of Christ. Now, when we think about substance, that's a characteristic part that we get from the Father. It adds value to our lives. We have to get to the point where God's become first in everything in our life. That way we acknowledge Him in everything. And so even when we think of that, as we grow spiritually, us acknowledging God in everything, it means exactly what everything is. That means in anything we touch, anything we eat, in our goings and our comings, in our relationship, we grow in that and acknowledge God in everything. And I'm just talking about our mindset before we get even deeper in the trees of righteousness. Because this is a mindset journey. Our mindset, it has to grow from a carnal mindset to a spiritual mindset. The word of God even tells us a carnal mindset is the enemy of God, because a carnal mindset is not going to allow any instruction. It's going to do what it want to do. It can't follow the law. That's what the word of God say. Think about it like this. When we have made up our mind to do something, certain thing, whatever, and that is our heart desire, that's why we have to understand a desire is stronger than needs and wants. Because when we truly desire something, any of that need and want get pushed to the side. So our relationship with the Father has to become something that we desire to do. We're not doing it because someone made us do it. We're not doing it because it looked good to a man. We're doing it in a pleasing, a desire with thirsting. That's where the thirst and hunger come at, and it becomes a desire. And so I want to share this before we get into that, because it will always come down to what you believe. It will always come down to you willing to truly surrender, to go through the process, the transformation by the renewing of your mind. It will come down to you really surrendering those things that you know hinder you, even surrendering your shortcomings and your weaknesses. See, we have to understand that it is us, and when I say us, I'm talking about men or women. It is us that put that banner of perfect. God said, I perfect everything that concerns you as you grow into his image. See, we cannot allow the world to take certain words that is part of our character as children of God. What is that? Righteousness, holiness, perfection through the word, through the Holy Spirit. These things are a part of us. Even when it comes down to judgment, as kingdom, we are to judge one another. But in our judgment, it's not as the world view it. We judge with a grace. Our truth has to be with grace. Our speaking has to be with grace. Love is mixed in that, but correction and judgment is a part of that. We pray for the world, but in kingdom, we are We are to judge one another. We are to correct one another. And so before we get in this, I just want to share Colossians. I want to read Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ, who is our life appears. Then you also will appear with him in glory. That's Colossians 3:1-4. Last week, I did start talking about the tree of righteousness last week in ashes, because that's beauty of ashes was another part of this series. And if you missed any of it, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/more insight. It started with the topic, the same battle, but different vessels. And so in last week, when I started with the meaning of tree of life, just talking about how we are blessed because we are grounded and rooted. When we think about trees, you know, it's something when you read the Word of God, you see how trees, how that is spoken about and how God is the vine and we are the branches. You think about it. Sometimes we have to visualize the tree. So as I'm talking, visualize the tree in your yard, a tree you pass every day. When we look at a tree, it contributes so much to the atmosphere, right? It contributes fresh air. A tree, it draws, if you look at trees, pay attention how it depends on how the sun shines on that tree. The tree was attends to lean to that light, right? And that's the same with the tree of righteousness, talking about us. See, there's certain things for us to become rooted as the tree of righteousness. And so when we think about the light, just like a natural tree, it leans to the light. And our source of light is the Holy Spirit, the anointing power of the Holy Spirit, for us to grow towards the light. And so as trees of righteousness, we must do the same to grow. We must thirst and hunger after righteousness. We must be willing to spend time with our Father. See, us fellowshipping, going to Bible study, even different prayer conferences or whatever, that is to enhance our personal relationship. That is to meet the Holy Spirit in those places. But if we're not working on a personal relationship, that is just a act, just something that we're doing. That's just something that we're doing. And so we have to understand it will always go down to our relationship. So the natural tree, but treat us as trees of righteousness. We grow because we turn to the light, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, John 8:12. And then when we look at a natural tree, how you plant the tree, and as I just said, that a lot of trees, if you look at them and pay attention, they draw to where the sun is, the light, and that's the same. But then every living thing needs water, right? So us, even us as trees of righteousness, our roots, we have to become rooted. And so we need living water. They are like trees planted by rivers of water. And they meditate on God, Lord, day and night. We have to study the Word of God. You know, even when we pick up the Word of God, we have to pray over that. Ask God to strengthen us in our understanding, taking us deeper with the knowledge and the wisdom of it, giving us new revelation. You know, the more we thirst and hunger after righteousness, the more we pick up the word of God, there's hidden treasures in the word of God. And I'm trying to tell you, there's hidden treasures. And so it's about us willing to go deep. It's about us willing to go deep. That's where our water at in the word of God. The tree is planted, right? When we give our life to God, the tree is planted. And then we have to embrace the Holy Spirit for the light. Then we have to get into the word of God for the water, the living water. And so as we do that, hallelujah, as we do that, we grow. We grow. The deeper our root, the more we are able to withstand troubles and trials, and even those droughts and dry seasons that come our way. You know, when Apostle Peter is telling us, beloved, think it's not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. When trouble come our way and trials come our way, trials and tribulations, or we're in a dry drought season, we have to go to the Father in prayer. And the Holy Spirit will allow us to know if this is a season that he's trying to show us some things, reveal some things, purge, stretch us, strengthen us. Because every level, every season in our life, there's a process of purging and cleansing, stretching and revealing. And then it's a put back on, because as we surrender to the process, there's a putting on where there may be a putting on or more favor in your life, a putting on or a stronger in your understanding, a putting on where your discernment becomes strengthened and stronger. We all have spirit of discernment, but in our growth, in our spiritual growth, the spirit of discernment becomes stronger and stronger. That's something we should always be praying for, right? Because the spirit of discernment will allow us to see what's not being said. It will always allow us to go beyond the veil. We could be in the midst of the craziness, but that spirit of discernment will allow us to know that not just a person might be lying or deceiving you, but the spirit of discernment will allow you to know that this is the way you need to go. Even though it don't feel good, this is your time to be in this place. You can possess your own soul through patience. We have to have patience. Patience is a part of the fruit. So the deeper our roots are, it's not about us. We won't get shaken. It's not about us falling short. It's about us persevering. It's about us staying in faith. Even Proverbs 3:18 tells us that the Bible wisdom is a tree of life to those who take a hold of it. I am always repeating. Even the word of God said, we understand, we learn by hearing, constantly hearing over and over, that seeds are being planted. See, when I'm saying something the first time, you might not catch it. But as I repeat it, it's like a light bulb might go off, right? All of us got that little light bulb, and it don't go off all the time at the same time, right? But as you're constantly hearing, that's what I said, hearing by the word of God, you're constantly hearing it, the seed is being planted, watering, And now it's been planted in your heart. In your heart. Growing and flourishing again, the tree of righteousness. And so we've been on this season, this series, excuse me, the same battle but different vessel, because it has to come to a point of this, right? We can be dealing with the same battle. Money ain't lying, our relationship, you know, all over the place, our health issues. It could be so much. And it seemed like we've been dealing with this thing for the same for years or months or weeks and stuff. But the bottom line is, in that season, in that battle, in that storm, the vessels must change. Why? Because as you're dealing with it and you're doing what you was instructed to do, you're praying without season, you're praising God, you're giving them worship, even in the midst of that, right? You're picking up the word of God, you're meditating on it day and night. You're thirsting and hungering after righteousness. You're not conforming to this world, but you are surrendering to the transformation by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? Even through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's what that scripture is telling you. Once we start praising God in the midst of the craziness, we deny our flesh from reacting. And when we start praising God in that storm, things change. What first changed? Our mindset. Then our heart shift. Then now you got your emotions coming on. Because what is your soul? Your soul is your will, your mind, and your emotions. That's what has to go through process. When we give our life to God, we are born again in the spirit. Always think about that. Why was that word used? That word was used to give us the understanding of you have to relearn. You have to relearn everything. You have to relearn how to respond instead of reacting. You have to relearn how to speak, how to do this, how to do that, how to become a tree of righteousness. So it's a relearn process, and we all must surrender to go through it. Now, Jesus tells us that we will be known by our fruit we produce in Matthew 7, 16 to 20. I always share with you, sister girls and brother men, that in our journey, we should start writing in journals. Writing things. Even when we're spending time with the Father, the Holy Spirit will reveal things to us, even in our dreaming. Because that's your spirit man that's in the dream. And sometimes God's speaking to us in a dream. Sometimes he's allowing things to be repeated for a reason. And so we write down our dreams down. But it's good to write things down just to reflect, just to see a pattern. Before the fruit, the tree must be planted. We cannot bear fruit. Now, Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, 16, 20 that we will be known by our fruit, but we cannot bear fruit without the tree. And so we have to go through the process of being planted, rooted, to bear the fruit. So, as trees of righteousness, that means others can see your fruit. But then we have an inward fruit, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. And so when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, there are nine graces. And see, that's why Luke tells us that we can possess our soul through patience. That means that we can control our emotions. We have control over our mind. We control our will. You know, our choices we make.
But everything through patience. Everything through patience. And so when we look at the fruit of spirit, it's nine graces, but it make up one fruit. It's not plural. You have nine graces that make up this fruit. And so if we walk in truth about ourselves, see, when I say walk in your truth for real, I'm talking about you first. Because when we can be true about our messiness, or we can be true about our shortcomings and our weaknesses, when we can be true about them, we can surrender them unto God without any hesitation. Because the battles always start within us first. And so we have love. This is the fruit of the Spirit. You have love. You have joy. You have peace. You have long-suffering. You have gentleness and goodness, faith and meekness and temperance. Jesus chose you for the very purpose of bearing fruit, saving souls, building kingdom. The tree of righteousness, you know, years ago, and this is before I surrendered for real, because I did not surrender at the beginning, so I get it, you know, and even when I look back, one of my biggest hesitation was I did not want to lose control. You know, sometimes we think we are in control, and we really not. But I can walk in truth that was one of my hindrances, because I would say things like, Lord, because he wasn't daddy yet. You know, that's how I would reference him as Lord, our Lord and Savior. And I was like, Lord, do I have to give up this? I would whine like a baby, because what was going on, God was pulling and tugging at me and convicting me in so many things where I recognized, I didn't know, I didn't understand the conviction, but I recognized that God was trying to show me something. So those are the things I was like, Lord, do I have to give up that? And so one of the things that can stop us from truly surrendering, because we want to be in control, right? But see, when we look at our relationship with God, it's not a controlling relationship. It's a willing relationship. That's why our mindset, we have to go to the transformation, right? Because of our thinking. God wants us to desire to serve him, to be a part of his family. But he wants us to desire to do what we need to bear fruit. And we cannot do that if we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to guide us, because it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can bear fruit in the way that God intended us to. We cannot do that in our own flesh. It's through the Holy Spirit. So let's be truthful. Our flesh flares up quick. I mean, it takes someone to trigger it. Like sometimes, even when people see a change in you, these people might even have known you before, right? But they remember buttons, right? They remember certain buttons they could push. They remember certain words that would trigger, and they would try that. And so sometimes your flesh will react quickly. But see, that's why we have repentance and God forgive us in our confession, when we confess, so we don't have to get caught up in those things. But we have to be willing to be walking in the fruit of the Spirit, all nine graces, because that's part of our righteousness as trees of righteousness, the fruit. Because if we don't have peace, if we don't have joy, because Jesus said they would know you by your fruit, that means they would be able to see it. right? So if we don't have all nine graces, so we might be missed in faith and peace, then we're not going to bear the right fruit because we're missing the fruit of the righteousness, which is the nine graces of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of righteousness, like all fruit, springs from a seed. It's not the time of your prospect. It's the surrendering to it. None of us will be moving at the same pace. None of us. Your journey is different than my journey. You might not have as many things to work on, or you might not be struggling with letting go many things as me. And so we don't look at the time frame. We look at us being faithful and disciplining and obedient unto the Father, because our time don't line up to God's time. And so we can't get caught up in the timing of it. It messes with the focus. It messes with the discipline. See, even when we've fallen short in one particular thing, still will go down to our heart has to have a desire to change it. Because it goes back to what David, his confessions and how he repent with a sincere heart, really wanting a change. And that's why I always share that part of my journey. When I was struggling with certain things, I didn't want it to let go. And I walked in truth with it. And as I was doing that, God was doing something where I was like, yeah, I need to let that go. Oh, yeah, I don't need to go there. I don't need to touch that. And during that season, I'm telling you, God taught me and gave me understanding about temptation. You know, I was a gambler. Now, I wasn't one of these gamblers that gamble away my rent money, nothing like that, but I could gamble. Right? I could gamble to the point where I would go to casinos, drive. I ain't need nobody go with me. And truthfully, back then, I was like, I ain't want nobody go with me because I ain't want nobody begging for the money or nothing like that. Right? But once I gave my life to Christ, once I surrendered, because I separated. The reason I separated Sister Girl and Brother Man is because when I did a sin of prayer and wanted to be saved and wanted my life to change, everything did not fall off of me. And so I was going through the motion of fellowshipping and all that stuff, but I only had one toe in, and then the feet might came. Then here go the two feet now, and then, okay, half of the body there. So that's how my process went, to the point where it came to the time where God was pulling on me so hard, I surrendered. So that's when a big change came for me, is in my surrender. But even after all that, so now I'm not gambling no more, but there's still a temptation, see, because in that season when I was kicking and screaming, didn't want to let certain things go, God was giving me an understanding about temptation. And so some years later, a friend of mine, they was having a dinner at casino, but it was at the restaurant. And so I said, nah. Ooh. I said, nah, I can't go. I said, I can't go in the casino. I said, nah, I don't feel I'm strong in that yet. That's a temptation. That's a temptation. And so she ended up calling me back, and she said, no, we look. You don't have to go to the casino. The restaurant is on the outside. You don't have to go into the building. And so I said, okay, let me pray on it. Because I still had to walk in truth, right? I still had to walk in truth how that could tempt me. Now, I could not even say that I could do, like some people are, oh, putting a quarter in ain't nothing, but that's you. I could not say that I could truthfully not be tempted. Even if I put one quarter, for me putting one quarter could end up being hundreds of dollars, could end up being where I'm gambling every week or every other week, okay? And so I prayed about it. And so I end up going. Did good because the restaurant was just like they said. You go through the restaurant from the outside, so I didn't even have to go in the building, so I did good, right? So I was like, okay, I passed the test. I'm good. Then a while later, another friend had this one was at the MGM. I never been there, but they had a little gathering at the restaurant at MGM. So I end up going, why? Because I was stronger then. It was no big thing. It didn't even matter to me then. There was no temptation there. So what is my point with all this? Is that we have to walk in truth about it. It has to come to a point where there has to be a desire in us to change certain things. It ain't going to happen overnight. Oh, let us not fool ourselves. But in us walking in truth and surrendering even our weaknesses and our shortcomings to the Father, it will happen. It will happen because God has a way of touching our heart like no one else can. That's why he searched our hearts, because everything is planted in our hearts. Old pain, old issues, secrets, everything, every deceit, everything. Even Jeremiah tells us how deceitful our heart is. And so we have to offer our heart up to the Father for real, for real. And so when we look at the fruit of righteousness, like all fruit, it springs from a seed. Then the seed of grace implanted in the heart of all believers at the moment of salvation. The seed of grace implanted in the heart of all believers at the moment of salvation. Without that seed, the fruit would not be possible. When we give our life to Christ, that's the seed that's being planted right there. And that's why we have to fellowship one with another. After that, after we give our life, we have to, because now we have a bull's eye on our back. What do the word of God tell us? That you will be hated for my name's sake. So automatically we have a bull's eye on our back. Who cares about that as kingdom? Because of our power and our authority through the Holy Spirit and our understanding in it, that we can step on a serpent head, that we can heal even our own self. Wow, hallelujah. That we can bind and loose on earth, knowing that it would be bond and loose in heaven. But we have to grow, go through the transformation to understand that power and authority, to walk it, to speak to that mountain. Even if you got to speak to the mountain, you know what the enemy do? When we pray about a certain thing, right, and we go on, but then the enemy will bring that thing right back and make it intense even more. We pray without ceasing. Every time you come, you bind. Because what? You get stronger in the spirit than that spirit. That stumbling block, that trap will start to bow down. Me personally, I don't care what the enemy bring at me. I don't care the same thing over and over. I be warned over and over. And I feel that. I I'm in a situation now. I'm in a trial and a tribulation now that I know. Woo, thank you, Father. I know I've been dealing with it for at least 6 years. You hear me? 6 years. Now, it died down, moved to the side, but then it come back. Come back with a vengeance sometimes too. So what I have to do? War. We have to learn how to war. We pray without ceasing, but then it's a warring time where we're binding and we're loosing. It's a warring time where we're meditating on the word day and night, where we speaking scriptures into it, the living word, the two-edged sword into that. It's warring time. Because those spirits always try to wear you out. They try to push you to give up, to give in. But the word of God tells us that we must persevere to the end. And we cannot persevere to the end if we're dealing with the same storm without the Holy Spirit, without our weapons of warfare. Daddy, so he loves us so much that he would distract us in that craziness. He would distract us in a storm someone else would remind you, ain't number two spirits, but will remind you of that situation. And you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, right. Oh, but no, that's fine. That's how you would think, because then you remember, oh, yeah, that's going on. But then you said, Lord, thank you. Because you've been distracted. And so I could tell you that I know that particular thing in my life been going on about 7 years, but I'm telling you, God been distracting me in it here and there where even sharing it with you. I thought about how long it's been going on. But God, oh, how sweet he is to us. He has been distracting me in it. And then when the enemy tried to come back, and then I remember certain things, I wore even harder. Because, see, I know that thing is what the enemy trying to break me in. He's trying to make me give up. Oh, but I'm a child of God. That's how we have to talk. It don't matter. See, it's not that we're not going to go through these things. You are a tree of righteousness. So that means you are planted. You are already planted. You have the light to grow. You are being rooted daily. And even trees, if we think about how long in the natural, we might not even go to our old neighborhood and see a same tree that's been there. And we might be 50, 60 years old, and that tree's still there. Or hundreds of, go certain places, you see trees that have been planted for hundreds of years. That's how you got to think. You are a tree of righteousness. And so we have to thirst and hunger after the righteousness to become even more rooted. You ever seen an old tree? You ever seen the roots? How strong and thick those roots are? Where sometimes you might look at the tree and it might look like it's dying, or it might look like it's leaning or something. But then when you look down at the root, and you might even say, oh, that tree ain't dead. Look at that root. See? Tree of righteousness. Without the seed, this fruit would not be possible. In Romans 3, Romans 3, 10 through 18, Paul, he described the state of an unredeemed man. Not one of us is righteous, pure, holy, and undefiled. See, without the Father, ain't no righteousness. We're all over the place. We say things we ain't got no business saying. We're doing stuff we ain't got no business doing. Truth, 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 truth. That's why I will always go back to our desire. Desire to do the right thing, to the desire, we desire to deny our flesh. Even in truth, sometimes we allow our flesh to come forth. We have grown enough to understand that part of our journey, but sometimes we'll let it flow. We might even think to ourselves, but they deserve it this time because I'm tired of them keep coming at me like this and that. But even that person can be touched. You can share your fruit with that person. That main person that always pushing your buttons, always trying to start something. Always negative. You delight to say that so. Change that mindset. Draw that soul to the kingdom as a tree of righteousness. So let me go to this. I'm going to go back over this right here before I end tonight. As a tree of righteousness, we're blessed. We're talking about happy and fortunate. It's the man who trusts, confident, secure in the Lord. A tree of righteousness is blessed. Upright, level, is the man who hopes, got confidence, security is the Lord. This is what, when we're walking in, see, as we grow into God's knowledge and image, we take on his character. And as trees of righteousness, we know it's in the Lord that we are trees of righteousness. And so these are some of the things we're blessed with because of trees, because we are trees of life. So we are blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel, advice, or plans of the ungodly, wicked, to be or do wrong, nor stand, endure, continue, abide in the path, the directions or the role of sinners. See, even as children of God, kingdom, our counsel do not supposed to be coming from ungodly. Because see, you might not touch things and then you go to the ungodly and they say, oh, well, what's wrong with that temptation, then you do that, and then you dealing with the consequences, and they going on with their way. But as trees of righteousness, we know that, but he delight and pleasure is in the law, instructions, directions, and teachings. As we grow, as we become stronger in the spirit, growing from a carnal mindset to a spiritual mindset, we do not get caught up. We're not kicking and screaming no longer of the instructions, the directions of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates. So we're not roaming and groaning and fussing and complaining because we have to meditate on the word day and night. It becomes a delight to us. And then he should be like a tree. All trees, all kinds of trees used for food. See, you might be a blackberry tree. I might be an almond tree or apple tree. But either way, we bear fruit. And then we're planted. God plants us, root us in love. Along the bank of the river, on this side, in that, by the river of water, God is living water. He is the foundation of living water, constant life source. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, Revelation 22:1. Which spreads out its root by the river. See, as we're being water as trees of righteousness. Our root spreads out wide because it's being watered. And he would not see, look at, pay attention, nor fear what he come. When he come, we don't fear. We don't even pay attention to it. We see it, war against it, pray against it, fast when we have to get into the word of God. Because what are we saying? We're saying, oh, say you want every knee to bow. Even when we're dealing with other people, and let's be truthful, the first people that can hinder us and distract us and take us from take us to the flesh quicker is those that's closest to us, our family. But it goes back to when I was talking about a couple of weeks ago that God ordained dysfunction. If you look at Matthew, I got to look at it. I don't want to get you wrong first. Try to have it before I finish. But when God tells us that mother would be against daughter and father against son. But see, that's in God doing that and us dealing with that, it teaches us something. See, it teaches us when we're in that ordained dysfunction of a family that God ordained, we learn how to agree to disagree. We deal with different personalities, different opinions and all. We learn how to still love one another in spite of. See, even though it's ordained by God, it's a lesson there. It's a teaching there. Because when we learn that in our own family, when we go out to the world and we're dealing with hatred or anger in such a way, we have some tools already from the process that we had to go through our family. And they always can be the one that triggers something. But see, those are the ones that know you the best. So those will always be the one that will be a tugger there. Even in your change, they will be the ones that don't want to see it or won't acknowledge it. But that's okay because when it's time and God revealed in such a way, you will be able to touch them in your discipline and obedience as the tree of righteousness. See, you didn't sway left when they was trying to pull you there. See, that's a growth a process for us too because we struggle with our family. They know us the best. And then they trigger certain things to us. So as we grow deeply rooted as trees of righteousness, they don't work no more. And so now they start paying attention. Because they saying, oh, well, D, you know, that's what my family called me, D. But D didn't respond like that. Well, why didn't you say that? Did D call? So now they're going to start watching you. And so they're going to start seeing the new man. And they don't have to acknowledge you as the new man. Because, see, one thing the Holy Spirit do for us, what a blessing. He give us understanding of us. One thing I used to tell my daughters when they was coming up, and sister girls, you females, you can relate to this. You know, certain things coming up, even now it might be, but coming up as little girls, we had certain things we might didn't like about ourselves, or I don't like my hair, or I wish I didn't have. Big boobs and, you know, so forth, certain things. And so I used to tell my girls coming up, I used to say, they are parts of your body, certain things that are a part of you. You must learn how to embrace them and love them. But certain things you can change. And those things that you can change, then you do it. Don't complain about it. Change those things. And you can't change the texture of your hair. You can't change your skin tone. You can't change the shape. Well, people can do that, but I'm just saying, okay? We ain't talking about no cosmetics. I'm not no cheerleader for that, to each his own. But I ain't no cheerleader. I'm just saying. Now, yeah, you can do that with doctors and all that, but no. I'm just talking like this. I ain't pulling no doctors in. I'm saying. So certain things you can't change. That's a part of you. See, your skin tone is a part of you. Your hair texture is a part of you. The shape of your nose, your lips is a part of you. Your body shape is a part of you. Embrace those things. Love your things. God created you in that way. See, sometimes when we go against what God created for us, and, you know, we got to think about what are we saying to the Father. You know, we say God don't make mistakes, but then we're trying to change things that's a part of us, a natural part of us. And so that's how I would tell my daughters, especially as girls. We have to teach them, and even we learn as girls, you know, we have to learn. And hopefully everyone had that in their life, to learn that we have to learn to love ourselves in a way. And it first will go about us loving how we look, because that's who we see when we're looking in the mirror, when we're putting on clothing and all that. And so we have to learn to embrace those things and thinking, look at it as this is how God created you. And, you know, if you want to do all that other stuff, I'm not going against that, because we all got our will. I'm not judging nobody with that. But I'm just saying that to say that sometimes we have to embrace certain things, that we'll get caught up on certain things, and those things will follow us into our adulthood, and it will hinder us. It will hinder us. And so let me get back to this. So where I stop at? Okay. So he should be like a tree. So I did say that each one of us can be a certain tree and all. Okay, then the root. Okay, so let's get to the leaf. But his leaf will be green as trees of righteousness will flourish in him. In order to keep our leaves for not withering, you know, his leaf and should not wither, you know, fade away, drop down, fall off. We have to draw near to God. You know, our life might start as a chore, like some might have been in church when they was a little girl or a little boy, brother man. And, you know, you went to a fellowship because that's what you was told. And at a certain point in your life, you might didn't want to do it no more. You thought it was a chore and all. And then now, where you at now is something that you desire. And so now, a life with Christ become your lifestyle, so it's no longer a chore. So we're not doing things because we are being made to do. So that keeps our leaf green when we thirst and hunger after righteousness, when we're meditating on the word day and night, when we're praying without ceasing, when we're praising God even in the midst of our storms and our struggles. It keeps our leaf from withering. It keeps us green. The tree would not cease from yielding fruit. Its fruit would not fail, it would bring forth its season in its season. You know, as kingdom, it will always be about us understanding this too. We want to bear fruit just to help another. As the trees of righteousness, it's not just about us. It's about glorifying God. And as we glorify God, we draw others. And so our trees should not cease from the yielding of fruit. The root of the righteous should yield fruit. Proverbs 12:12 tells us that. See, our leaf, our fruit is medicine, not just for ourselves, for others. Our fruit, our leaves are encouragement, not just for us, but for others. That's why Jesus said they would know you by your fruit, because through the anointing power of the Holy Spirit, you will attract people. You will attract souls to you. See, we don't even have to go running around, running up and down the street looking for, you will attract them. And so your fruit do not cease, because as you're sharing it, and now here come another tree being planted, then another tree being, you see how that go? Even trees as righteousness, we will not be anxious. That means we don't operate in fear. We have to recognize fear to war against it. But we don't operate. See, we refuse to operate in fear. But we walk in truth when it's there to war against it, so we don't become paralyzed with it. And so as the tree will not be anxious in the year of drought. See, when we're not dry season and drought season, there's no rain, you know, there's nothing going on. We feel like we're at a standstill. We cannot become anxious. The word of God says, be anxious for nothing but pray about everything with prayer and supplication, making your request known to God. You know, we can never forget the word of God said, you have not because you ask not. Only thing we have to remember in that is that everything we ask for might not come in the way we expect it. It will come the way God sees fit, what's best for us. And so sometimes we think God is not answering our prayers because we're not seeing it in the way that we pray for it. But I'm here to tell you, all you have to do is grow to the point where you say, Lord, let your will be done. And in all your praying, as God is answering it, you will see it in his way and forget all about how you pray for it, but you will see it in his way and line up to his will, because you know he know better than us. He know better than us. And whatever he does should prosper. And everything that we do should prosper in the name of Jesus. See, we have to believe that, but first we have to look at how do we view prosper? How do we view that, right? See, everything, like if we feel like in our finances it's not right, or we're struggling there, we have to have a talk with Daddy, Lord, and tell, and so in doing that, so you can see your perspective on it, right? Because if prosper is just things to you, there's always going to be a disappointment, right? But if prosper is a good health, the faith, the understanding, the peace, the love, the joy, those type of things that man can't take away unless you give them to him, is that prosper, then even in the other way with things, you would become blessed in that. Why? Because that do not become your focus. Your focus is about becoming whole from inside out. Your focus is to bear fruit. Your focus is to touch a soul. That means you want to share your fruit. That's your focus. And so as you do, and that God is blessing you, right? And so it goes back to certain things we have to really examine ourselves in. How do you view prosper? How do you view that? And I know when we talk about prosperity, everybody focuses on things, but things fade away. Because, see, the biggest thing is, you know, when we have a roof over our head and we lose that. See, we can lose our mind because those things, we value them that, we're going to value because we want a roof over our head, but we could value those things in a way where if we lose them, it changed our whole asset. Like even with a vehicle, we lose a vehicle through an accident or something. And now our whole life is just jacked up. You know, God tested me in that. It took my vehicle. I didn't even have a vehicle. I think it was a couple years. I don't remember. But in that whole season, God distracted me from anything about it. I was making plans for sister girl in my personal life, like I had a vehicle in the driveway. And once I would make the plans, I would say, oh, Lord, I ain't even got no vehicle. I was forgetting that I didn't even have a vehicle. And the thing about it is, I know I could have got a vehicle if I would have went to my husband. But see, he was saying something about what happened to that vehicle. And I just didn't even want to hear all that stuff. So I was like, I said, God will provide. And he did. He did. He did. He provide. He provide. But even with all that, I had to get there. But I surrendered to get there where losing things do not get me so twisted as it once did. No one wants to lose their possession. Trust me, I understand that. But in losing those possessions, we first have to examine ourselves and go to the Father to keep our peace. Because whichever way we have to go, because I'm telling you, I know it was a couple of years, but God had a witness, which was my cousin. And she the one reminded me when God opened up the door for me to get a vehicle. And I shared with her how it came about because it was so strange. And I said, I'm going to get this vehicle because I know this is my daddy. And I got the vehicle. And she was even saying, ooh, you helped me because I don't know if I could have done it that long. See, you see that? You see, my life strengthened her. See, we have to always remember that we're witnesses. And even if we fall short, we don't get caught up even in if someone else do, but we confess and we repent because we know we do get caught up sometimes. We know that we do get caught up sometimes. So I'm going to end with this because I see we're close. And you guys know I have told you before the system automatically cut it off, so I want to make sure I don't go all the way to the end and get cut off. Let all the trees of righteousness bring forth seasonable fruit, and prosperity be faithful. Be thankful. See, whichever way God bless us, whether it's small or large, be thankful. And the small things, be even grateful and thankful. God tests us in small first. You know, sometimes when we get blessed in certain things, we can get caught up and distracted and forget all about that. So in prosperity, be thankful. Because that's what I pray for each and every one of you. I pray that God will prosper you from the inside out, that will touch your heart, that will download peace that surpasses all understanding. Also prosper you in your health and in your finance. We live in a world where we need greenbacks. We need money. But see, God is not saying money is evil. It's the root of it. It's how it dominates you, control you, take your focus So in prosperity, be thankful. In adversity, be patient. Be patient. And the only way to be patient in adversity is through the Holy Spirit. Our flesh will not allow us to be patient in it. Our flesh want to tell somebody what they did to us, want to tell somebody all. So, in adversity, be patient. To everything, there is a season. Ecclesiastes 3:1. And the Psalms it says, he appointed the moon for season. Psalms 104:19. Well, this ends part two, growing and flourishing again, trees of righteousness. We invite you to share your topics. If you have something you want us to talk about, you can email me at sistergirlnet@yahoo.com. That's sistagurlnet@yahoo.com. sistagurlnet@yahoo.com. Or you can text me at 301-335-1288. 301-335-1288. You can text me in the email or text. I need your name and number. I'm not sharing it, but in your topic, it's good for us to talk about it and pray about it so the Holy Spirit can guide me in it and talking on more insight in with you. So if you have anything you want us to talk about or more insight, feel free to text or email me. So we thank God for tonight. We thank God for fellowshipping. We thank God for his grace and his mercy, new revelation in the name of Jesus. May God continue to bless each and every one of you. Hallelujah. For I plead the blood of Jesus over your life, over your goings and your comments, everything you touch and eat in the name of Jesus. And I do want to say this before I end. You know, we're hitting 2022 soon. And I tell you, it's moving. It's moving in a mighty way. And so my prayer for each one of us is 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this season, we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcome it. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Thank you for joining us tonight on More Insight. I'm your host, Angela D. God bless you, sister girl and brother men. Be encouraged. I love you and good night.